Well, I studied for today's scripture more than normal because I had so many questions. I had questions on today's reading, and I didn't have the answers. And so I wrestled with the text today, and I wanted to have it clear in my mind so that you don't leave here with more questions than you came in with. More confused than when you walked in. So, with the seriousness and the weight of my personal wrestles this week, take this to heart. Try to sum it up in a sentence. Your faith is only as good as the object that it is in. Up on screen. Ta-da. Gospel of Mark. You got to get this. Your faith is only as good as what your faith is in. So lots of people say they have faith. So what? Lots of people say that they are spiritual. So what? Your faith is only as good as the object that is in. This is a true story. I know someone who says they are closest to God when they do mushrooms. Seriously, they really believe that. And that's not spiritual. That's narcotics. That's a psychedelics. That's not faith. You're not having an encounter with God. You're doing drugs. Don't do that. We laugh, but they really believed it. So here, I'm trying to sum this up. Up on the screen, all faith that is not in Christ alone is worthless. If your faith is in anything other than Jesus alone, it's worthless. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. I want you just to experience this with me. Experience the story with me. So if you remember last week, Peter, James, and John, Jesus' disciples, went with him up to the mountain, and they saw his humanity pulled back as his glory shines, okay? Last week would have been boring to non-Christians because it's just all about Jesus. Jesus' glory. What does that do for me? Well, if you're a Christian, you're fascinated with it. But anyways, now they're coming back down the mountain to meet the other nine. That's where we pick up the story in chapter 9, verse 14. It'll be up on the screen. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. Now pause here. The disciples are arguing with religious teachers. The disciples. And Jesus says, what are you guys arguing about? Now you would think the disciples would answer. They don't. You would think the teachers of religious law answer. They don't. Let's keep reading. Look who speaks up. Verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, there's arguing going on. Teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. And then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit. But they couldn't do it. Now, you need to know, this is this guy's only son. The Gospel of Luke tells us it. He adds, this is his only child, and he's just a boy, a little boy, tormented by demons. He has seizures, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. And then he says, your disciples failed to cast it out. Now, here's where all my questions came in. I want to be clear about the questions I had. Are seizures today demon possession?
You guys didn't have that question?
No, they're not, okay? So just, I'll get there. Two, can this story in Mark just be explained away by what we now know is epilepsy? Is that what's going on here and we just thought it was demon possession? No. Or how about this one? This one was the one I really wrestled with. Why don't we see this today? So those are the things we're going to answer. Do not make this your kid's bedtime story. And then walk away, flip out the lights, and say, sweet dreams. I hope this helps, but here's what you need to know when it comes to demons. Demonic activity was exponentially highlighted in the ministry of Jesus. Okay? So at the time of Jesus, demons knew exactly who he was and they hated him. So demonic activity is the highest in the entire Bible in the life of Jesus. And that's why we think it's all so common. But here, I'm just going to give you a survey of the Bible. In the Old Testament is just everything that happened before Jesus came. In the Old Testament, demons operated in idol worship. Anytime somebody would worship an idol or a fake god, that was the work of demons. I'm not making this up. It comes directly from 1 Corinthians 10:20 and Deuteronomy 32:17. So Deuteronomy 32:17 says, they offered sacrifices to demons. We just read this week. Which are not God. To gods that they had not known before. To gods only recently arrived. To gods their ancestors never feared. So that's the history of demons in the Old Testament. It was all through idol worship. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:20 says also. Then in the ministry of Christ, it's just exponentially highlighted. Demons are everywhere, and they are interacting with Jesus, and they hate him. So now we ask the question, why don't we see this today? And the answer is, it's because today, demons do their greatest work in religion. And I'm not making that up either. That's what the Bible says. Demons do their greatest work in deceiving people. They do their work in religion. According to 2 Corinthians 11, we're going to read it, 14 and 15, it says, but I'm not surprised. He's talking about false teachers. I'm not surprised that false teachers are in the church because even Satan tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And in the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So here it is, and this is why demons are so terrifying. Not red horns and pitchforks. You guys don't want to know the history of the pitchfork. They thought that forks were evil, and so they gave devil a pitchfork. That's why. He doesn't know where in the scripture is he got a tail, horns, and a fork. I'm serious. That's where that pitchfork came from. Somewhere in the Middle Ages, they didn't like forks. Look it up. Anyways, the best counterfeit is the one that is closest to the real thing. And so demons do their best work in religion, lullabying people to hell, all the while thinking that they are right with God because they have been very religious. I know, this is terrifying. So this is why it's so important that you know God's word for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take a religious leader's word for it. Read it. If you can read this, you can read the Bible. So back to the story, Mark chapter 9. We got to keep going. It gets better. And I just want you to read this with emotion. This guy, you got a crowd that's arguing with the disciples, and you got a father with a demon-possessed little boy. Can you imagine the chaos? Now watch this, 19. Jesus said to them, you faithless people. That's not a nice response. How long will I put up with you? How long must I be with you? Bring the boy to me. Now Jesus' response, he is no pansy. You guys wouldn't even have thought he would have responded that way. In Luke, he calls them perverted people. How long must I put up with you guys? You faithless, corrupt, perverted people. Bring the boy to me. Now here is where it gets good. 9:20 through 23. So they brought the boy to Jesus. Just picture this. And when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Just put yourself there. This is just chaos. And then Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening?" They're almost like yelling at this point. And the boy's father replied, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into fire or into water, trying to kill him." And then he yells out, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." And Jesus says, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked, "Anything is possible if a person believes." He's already a little boy. That's what the text says. And then he asks, "How long has this been happening?" And the boy's father said, "Since he was a little boy." The word is childhood, like infancy, before he could talk. This demon has been trying to kill him. We know from Jesus that demons come to steal, kill, and destroy. Examples of throwing him into fire. People would have cooked with open fires often. No safety features. And this demon would try to throw the boy into the fire to burn him. And then there's water. The demon would try to throw the boy into the water to drown him. He's your only son. Can you imagine being that boy's father? You would never have peace. You would never have rest. So don't read this without emotion that the father's going, "Have mercy on us, help us if you can." And Jesus responds, "What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible for those who believe." Now, this is all happening while the boy is convulsing and foaming at the mouth. Now, 23 through 27. "What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible for a person who believes." 24. The father cried out, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." What a prayer. In times of desperation, the father cried out, "I believe, but help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Keep going. Put yourself there. The spirit screamed and threw it into a violent convulsion, another one, and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. It was just quiet. And then a murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, stood up, story over. Wow. I don't know why you guys think Jesus is boring. But I want to be super clear here. Jesus is not teaching a magical formula for healing. Ta-da! Jesus is not teaching a magic formula for healing. If you just do this right, and you pray right, and you have enough faith, then, no, he's not teaching a magic formula for healing. If you just have the right components in the right order, then voila. No, he's not teaching that. What he is teaching is prayer is a dependence on God who is greater than you. We got to keep going in the story. We got to keep going. Mark 9:28. This is where it says, afterward, story over. The disciples were alone with Jesus. They asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." He's not teaching a magic formula. He's teaching prayer is dependence on God who is greater than you. That's what he's teaching. So from this story, do not trust in yourself. Do not trust in others. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. Do not trust in your ability, that you've been a pretty good boy. Do not trust in a ceremony that you completed. That you completed confirmation and you have the certificate. Don't trust in that. Don't trust in a label. I'm part of this church or that church. Don't trust in any of that. Trust in Christ and Christ alone. All faith that is not in Christ alone is worthless faith. Your ability is less than you think. And his ability is more than you think. Your faith is only as good as the object that it is in. Your faith will always be lacking. I believe, but help my unbelief. We prayed for that in Sunday school today. Help my unbelief. Your faith will never be perfect, but the object that your faith in it is in will never fail. Faith in Christ, what does that really even mean? We say it all the time. Does it just mean I believe he existed? It means this. It means transferring all of your trust to him. Not putting 98% of your confidence in Christ and still leaving 2% for you. It is 100% transfer of all of your trust that he is enough to save you. And if he's not enough to save you, you don't have a backup plan. Well, I went to church. Well, I gave money. Well, it doesn't matter. Put all your hope in Christ and Christ alone. Now you have no questions, right? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story. I pray that we don't get twisted concepts of who you are or who demons are or what is epilepsy. I pray that we take your word serious so that we would be able to see deception when it happens today. And I pray that your name alone would be exalted in this community. That as we worship you, we wouldn't just be singing songs to a screen, but that we would think of our relationship with you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.